This is message 5 of the Bangkok Conference, October 2015. Verses are Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, and chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Thank the Lord. Now we would share concerning the offerings. But before I start, I think I should still mention a couple of points that are very important. Today, the church is not only the body of Christ. Of course, we need to know that the most important part of the body is the head. Oftentimes, people talk about the body, yet they forget about the head. They even change out the head. They not only forget about it, the head, they even change it out and replace it. In the end, man becomes the head, and not Christ as the head. These kind of things happen too easily. May the Lord have mercy on us. Now, regarding the church as a bride of Christ, she needs to become a glorious church without spot or blemish to satisfy our bridegroom. The church is not for ourselves. That is why you need to know Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. He wants to gain a glorious church that is holy, without blemish, without spots or wrinkles. Now tell me, is it easy to get such a church? It's not that if we do nothing at all and we can become such a church, right? Now, towards God, the church is His habitation, the house of God. Since it's His habitation, that means everything has to be built according to what He wants. God is living, so we should also be living. It's not possible that the living God lives in a dead church. It's not possible. That's why the church should be living. Besides, it should be spiritual. You have to remember, because God is spirit. So the church should be a spiritual house. We all need to pay close attention to this. Peter said this, and so did Paul. The church is the house of the living God. Not only your house. First of all, it's a house of the living God. What did Paul say? It's the pillar and base of the truth. If the church is void of truth, you say your thing and I say my thing, we're just interpreting the Bible without the real thing, that church would not be able to stand. It cannot stand. That's why you should say, oh, we're one. And you don't bother with the truth. It's not that simple. without the truth, once the building shakes, it crumbles. That is why Paul said, the church is the pillar and base of the truth. We have to pay attention to God's word. Because God's word is the truth, and it is also the spirit and life. Without the truth, it doesn't work. The church would not be able to stand. And on top of that, Paul also says that the church is the mystery of godliness. It's God manifested in the flesh. The church is not there to manifest man's glory. It's not to manifest what God, what man can do. A church should manifest God through our living. It's not to manifest how He is or how I am. It's not like that. Just like when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, He was not manifesting His own glory. Nor did He say, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Moment by moment, He was manifesting the Father's glory. Besides, He expressed it through His human living. Yeah, this is very important. That is why it is very important how we live our lives today. It's only in this way that we can manifest God's glory. If the church is just very lively and can sing well, and the prayers are not bad, but everyone just lives himself, then that is not what God wants. You have to remember, the house of the living God. Should manifest the living God through our lives. That is why Paul said it's the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. And justified in spirit. That is why if you and I do not live in the spirit, there is no way for us to manifest God in our living. That is why the church is all for God. This is very important. That is why the church has to be holy. Peter said, you have to be holy because God said that I am holy. Paul also said the church has to be holy and without blemish. Then you say, oh, that's too much pressure. The question is not a matter of pressure. The question is whether or not you want to be holy. If you don't want it, nobody can force you. But you have to know, God wants a holy church. What choice do you have? Whether you want it or not, nobody can force you. Did I come with a whip to whip you? I don't even live here, so how could I have a whip to come whip you? But do not think that the Lord does not whip. If you go too far, the Lord would whip you at his coming. For a servant who knows the will of the master and yet does not do it, he will get more lashes. Just like a brother said, he will punish you severely. Every time I thought of what the brother said, I am in fear, so I'll be good. Amen, Lord. Listen to him. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the word of the Father. And let the Father chasten us. That is why the house of the living God is very important. Now, there's another point that's very important. Since the church is God's temple, then there should be holy priests. A temple without holy priests does not work. Does not work. So in the New Testament age, actually, it should have been the same in the Old Testament age. In Exodus chapter 19, it shows us that it's the will of God to have a kingdom of priests. And everyone is a priest to draw near to God, to serve God. Much more, we're there to offer up sacrifices, to offer up to God. The church as a whole should be a holy priesthood. It's not that a few of us are priests and the rest not. It's not like this. Everyone is a priest. One who serves God. One who offers up sacrifices to worship God. But today it's not like this. Christianity is not like this. And even among us, it's not so. Right? Now, are you a priest? Yes? Yes? Then what does a priest do? Do you offer up sacrifices? Tell me. Otherwise, what do you do as priests? Of course, the priests have many duties. It may be cleaning, cooking. Thank the Lord that there are brothers and sisters who are cooking, serving the saints, to provide food for the saints. Some are in the children's meetings. This is all very good. And there's some interpreting. And there are some tooting the horn of playing the piano or the guitar. These are all duties. Yes, the priests have many duties. But the main work that priests do should be to offer up spiritual sacrifices to worship this glorious God. That is why the Bible says each one of us is a priest. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2 again. Perhaps some people would say, how come, Brother John, you only use one verse? It's only one verse. Is one verse not enough? How many verses do you need? Actually, the whole Bible talks about the duties of the priests a lot. The New Testament part of the Bible does not need to repeat, because hasn't enough been said? You don't like to read Leviticus. Now, if much more is written, would it be of any use? It would be useless. Let's come take a look. Verse 4. Beginning with verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone. Look, even our Lord Jesus is also a living stone. He is a cornerstone that God has set in Zion. And he is also the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Because God is going to build a heavenly city. Even the Lord Jesus is a precious living stone. It goes to prove that this building is living. It is also heavenly. Because the Lord Jesus, this living stone, came down from heaven. Since there's such a word, it's enough for us to realize that the building of a church is not a material one. It's not this physical meeting hall, but it's a living building. The first piece of stone is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say that the Lord say you're going to church. As if we are over here, and the church is over there. Where are you going? I'm going to church. The church is that building? Is your head itchy? The church should be us. We people built up in Christ should be living. But your concept is, I'm going to church. And after the meeting you go home, where's the church? It's still over there. Who lives there? Everybody left. It's unfortunate the Lord Jesus cannot leave because he's a cornerstone. If we all leave, would you want to live here all by yourself? Would that be good? It's not good. That's why the church is living. Peter says here, the Lord Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone in Zion. Verse 5 says that you also, like the Lord Jesus, you also as living stones. You have to know this. Are being built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Not as a holy priesthood, but we're being built up into a holy priesthood. Meaning to say that this building is the priests. You cannot separate the spiritual house from the holy priesthood. If there is building, then there must be priests. It's not possible to have priests without a spiritual house. Now, since it's a holy priesthood, to do what? Peter said very simply in a couple of sentences. Why? Because in order to understand this, you have to go back into the Bible to read it up. How to be holy. If you do not go read Leviticus, you do not know what holiness is about. What may be done and what is not allowed. How your living has to be. Now, what do the priests have to put on as garments to enter into the temple, into the Holy of Holies? You cannot just walk in loosely. Without the blood of sacrifice, you cannot enter in. If you go in loosely, you will not live. There are very many aspects that you need to learn. Oh, you say that's the Old Testament. Once again, oh, that's the Old Testament. That is the Word of God. What can be touched, what cannot be touched. What can be eaten, what cannot be eaten. It cannot be loose. If you do not go read, how would you know? Besides, during the service, how are you to serve? If God does not tell you to go do it, and yet you go ahead and do it, Moses said, you have to remember the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They had just heard the word of God. They didn't care. And they just entered in to serve, to offer up some kind of sacrifice to God. And what happened in the end? God sent down the fire and burned them up. And besides, when Aaron saw that his two sons were killed, the Lord told Aaron, you are not allowed to weep. Wow. Do you know such a God? we serve God loosely. Oh, let me do this. Without asking Him, without prayer, without seeking Him, without reading the Bible. It's just, I'll do it, I'll do it. You come do it. If during a service you're spiritually bankrupt, today is not a physical death. But your spiritual life, your spiritual condition, your spiritual life is dead. There's no life. Do not think that it will not happen. That is why the holy priesthood is too important. If we have the opportunity later, we will fellowship concerning this. But it's enough if you just go read it for yourselves. It's not that simple. Do you remember a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke? That they all came to a wedding feast. They came to a wedding banquet. And one came in. Do not think that the Lord did not see him. What did the Lord say? That one. How did you come in? Without a wedding garment. How did you get in here? He told people to take him out. Tell me, won't our Lord do such a thing? You want to serve, yet you do not put on Christ, and you're not holy, and you have done so much unrighteousness, and your hands are unclean. And you want to come and offer up sacrifices? If my hands are dirty, I just happen to have touched I don't know what thing. And I'll use my same hands to bring you a big fat chicken. Would you dare to eat it? I just went to throw the trash out. And I bring this chicken. Come, 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 I'll invite you. Come eat. Would you dare to eat? Oh, we gotta be polite, right? You have to respect you, right? Oh, he's so kind-hearted. He brought you a big fat chicken for you to enjoy. Would you eat it? Really? You don't see my good intention? Do you want to eat it? He's shaking his head. Do you agree? Then would you all eat it? Now, even you wouldn't eat such a thing. Do you think God would eat it? Our God is holy. Whatever you bring is dirty. Now tell me, is God going to eat it? You are not that polite, right? Do you think God would be so courteous? We people are just so loose. That is why Peter said, it's a holy priesthood. We talk about the priesthood, yet we do not talk about holiness. You know, if you want to work in the kitchen, the U.S. government is very strict. If you go into the restroom, you come out of the toilet, you have to wash your hands. And if you're dealing with food, you have to be clean and sanitary, you have to wear gloves. And the inspectors will come check your kitchen often, you want to open a restaurant? Is it that easy? It's the same in Singapore, right? They have classified it as A, B, C. A is the most qualified. B is still okay. C is not that good. And D, you might as well close shop, right? Now, how about our holy priesthood? Are we A, B, or C? Holy priesthood. Do you dare to be loose when you serve God? You may say, oh, I'm too strict. I'm not that strict, but it's He who is so strict. Do not believe people when people tell you, oh, no, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. The Bible says God is love. Everything goes. You don't need to be afraid. What would you like to hear? Hear God's word. You have to hear God's word. Man's word may be wrong, but God's word is never wrong. You have to act. Do things according to His word, and you'll be all right. That is why there needs to be a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The offerings in the Old Testament were the bulls and the goats, the turtle doves, the fine flour, etc. Those were material things and physical things and animals. But today we do not bring the bulls and the sheep, but we bring spiritual sacrifices. Because in the New Testament age, the age of reality has come. The book of Hebrews tells us, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament were only symbols or the types of the real sacrifice that is to come. Today, we need to bring spiritual sacrifices. That's why you see that the New Testament ministry is also a spiritual ministry. It's not of the letter, but it's spiritual. That's why I repeat, you have to worship in spirit. It's only in this way that you can experience Christ as a reality of these offerings. Thank the Lord. I hope there's this basic principle is understood here. We all need to understand this. Otherwise, how can you be a priest? If we only say, oh, we are all priests, holy or not, that's a different matter. Since we are holy priests, then what do we bring with us? Oh, Lord Jesus. There's no way for us to read all the verses in the Bible this morning. Otherwise, we have to read Leviticus chapters 1 through 7 thoroughly in order to understand the significance of all these offerings. And you also have to put this together with the perfect human living that our Lord Jesus had on this earth. Then you can realize that our Lord Jesus Christ is truly the reality of all these offerings. If you want to be a priest, you need to learn well. At least for 5 years. You know, in the Old Testament age, beginning at the age of 25, if you are a Levite, you have to start to learn, because there are many things to learn. Besides, you have to learn it daily until you are 30, then you come to serve officially. You have to learn for 5 years. How about us? We've learned it for 50 years, and yet we still don't know how to do it. Lord Jesus. Because nobody told us. Neither do we listen to the Holy Spirit. And we don't read the Word of God well. And we do not come to read the Word of God with a pure heart. Then how can we be a holy priest? I think for many years we have known, hallelujah, I am a priest. Then, what do you do as a priest? Sweep the floor? That's okay too. The outward duties need to be done. But the most important duty is to bring to God God's food as sacrifices. Do you do this? Do you have this concept? Like I said, we come empty and we go home empty. Oftentimes we come to the meeting just for ourselves. Oh, it's for yourself. You want to come get something. You did not come to give God His food. You say, I praise Him. It's easy to praise Him because He is God. Oh, God is love. Hallelujah. You are love. You only praise what is mentioned in the Bible. I praise you that you died for me. Praise you for helping me. Praise you for protecting me. Praise you for giving me peace and rest and everything is well in my family. Are all your praises not for yourself? If he did not do all the above, would you still be praising him? The offerings are what you need to prepare to experience the Lord in a good way. experience what? Experience Christ as the reality of all those offerings. You may say, why? That's no why. Because that is what God wants. If I would ask you today, what does God want? You may say, God wants Christ. Oh, he already has him. Christ is already seated to his on his right hand. Does he not have his Christ? Does he? Yes. Where is he? He's at his right hand. So close. So what are you going to bring to God? If you do not go read Leviticus, you would absolutely not know what God requires of you. You say, anyway, I almost fell down. Oh, it's good that I didn't fall. Thank and praise God. This is our common experience. We experience the Lord all for ourselves. But if you experience Christ as the burnt offering that God wants, then you need to understand what is the meaning of the burnt offering. Why does the burnt offering has to be offered up in its entirety to God? What does that represent? It typifies how our Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. The life that he led was absolutely for God. He did not live for himself. He did not live for his own will. His life, his every action was to please the Father. And he was not there for his own glory. It says, behold, I came to do the will of the Father. Besides, he was absolutely obedient, and the obedient was unto death on the cross. The Father could declare from the heavens, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can he say this to us? There are 7 days a week. How many days have you lived for his will? You have lived for over 40 years, right? Sunday, right? About that. And in all these 40 years, how much time were you serving him? How much did you live for him? And how much did you live for yourself? Now, let's not talk about living for yourself. How much time did you spend doing bad things? How much time did you live in your flesh? Now, don't you want to experience Christ as your burnt offering? The life that he lived entirely through the life of the Father. Now, in our living today, do we live through Christ? You and I both know how our living is. I know that you know Christ as your trespass offering. Me too. We all know Christ as our sin offering and trespass offering, and we thank and praise the Lord, right? Because we have committed too many sins. Oh, forgive me. Forgive me, and in half an hour I commit the sin again. In the morning I repent, and in the afternoon, the evening, I do it again. I commit it today, and I commit another one tomorrow. That is why we are all very familiar with the Lord Jesus as our sin offering and a trespass offering. But what is the Lord Jesus as my burnt offering? Oh, it's not necessary, it's not important. Is that the case? No wonder we're all living ourselves. When we speak, we also speak what we want to speak about. And we serve what we love to serve. If I don't like to do it, don't tell me to do it. If I like to come, I come. If I don't like to come, I don't come. That's how it is. Tell me, what should be done? In doing other things, we're very punctual. When we come to the meeting, when we come to pray, go slow, go slow. No need to be quick. The Lord's Day meeting is still okay, but the prayer meeting, oh dear, I'm not interested. The meeting on Saturday, first of all, I have to ask, who is going to be speaking? He's speaking? I might as well stay at home. Now, are you actually for yourself or are you for God? You read the Bible. You don't understand. But when you read other books, you understand them very well. Now, when you read the Bible, you do not ask the Lord, because the reference books are your Lord. You want to interpret the Bible. You do not speak what God wants you to speak. It's all according to your and my own thoughts. Now tell me, if this is the case, can your spiritual life and the church life grow? How many people are in the Lord's Day's meeting? How many people are at the prayer meeting? You pray for 20 minutes and it's already too long. then what should be done? Paul said to pray unceasingly. If you are a person who prays unceasingly, then you say, prayer only once a week? Oh, that's too little. Let me ask you, do you often pray together with your wife? It's very strange. When you want to pray, oh, it's too tired. I've got to go rest. You want to rest. Without praying, you're still quite alert. But today you want to pray, then, oh, I'm tired, I need to go rest. Such a person, such a Christian, you do not know Christ as your burnt offering. If when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and He was like you and me, could He have accomplished God's will in 3.5 years? I have lived over 70 years. I don't know what will I have accomplished. Oh, Lord Jesus, from the time He began His ministry until He was crucified and He resurrected, He accomplished it in 3.5 years. How long is the history of Bangkok? 50 years, yes? At least. Is it done? You say, oh, I'm criticizing you. No. We have to wake up. We have to wake up. Wake up to do what? First, we come to experience Christ as our burnt offering. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to experience you in me, living out the will of God. You are very serious about your own work, right? And you work very hard. You can do without sleep. If something is the matter, you can work from the morning until midnight, and you're still not tired. We're all like that. How about the church? Oh, just let the elders take care of it, right? Oh, they are responsible. If there are problems, that has nothing to do with me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are we not like this? If you don't like it, you go away and you quit. If the Lord Jesus is like this, today none of us would be saved. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, did everyone welcome Him? Did anybody welcome Him? Nobody welcomed Him. Now, when you come to the church, and nobody is there to welcome you, and nobody greeted you, without greeting you, and you just say hi to you, and you're not happy. Don't you know who I am? How come you're so impolite? Next time you have to be more polite. You have to do this. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, was everybody very polite to him? They all wanted to get rid of him, to kill him. They didn't welcome him at all. They didn't even want to believe in him. They were envious of him, and they even wanted to kill him, reject him, and not believe in him. If I were he, forget it. I'll go back to heaven. Would I still care to save you people? Should I still come and save you? You are not worthy of my salvation. I'm leaving. Father, just throw them all into hell. Would he do that? Won't you do that? I would. I think you would also. Would you? Yes. You see, we all would do that. But the Lord Jesus did not do that. Because he came to do the will of the Father. Do you think that he did not know that it was going to be like that before? Think that before he came, he thought that everything was going to go smoothly. Oh, my Father would arrange everything so that everything would go smoothly, right? That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he thought everything would go smoothly, right? No. Before he came, he already knew. If it were up to me, had I known what was going to happen, I would have told the Father, Father, why don't you go and I'll stay? Right? This is our Lord Jesus Christ as a burnt offering. Because we, fallen man, are selfish. The self is very strong. Okay, I come. What can I get? What benefit do I get out of it? Are you going to give me your place? You're going to step down and let me take your place? If not, I won't come. We are all like that. Now tell me. Do you want to experience Christ as this burnt offering? So live a life that is there to accomplish the Father's will. The prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us is, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth. Beginning with whom? It begins with you. Go don't say, oh, it begins, it should begin with him. It should begin with me. Because if I do not experience him as my burnt offering, how can I help Brother Chen also to experience him as his burnt offering? I don't even know that there is such a thing. How can I help you? I always live myself. Would I be able to teach you how to live Christ? Oh, you go live Christ. I don't need it. Would that work? Well, we'll continue the fellowship this evening. That's why you have to remember. Of all these offerings, God placed the burnt offering in the first place. Because our living should be fully for God, but we're fallen. Even your service, many times it's just for yourself. Otherwise, that is why you would get angry. Because people don't listen to you and then you lose your temper. If you're not for yourself, what are you for? If people don't listen to you, then you're unhappy. If they don't respect you, they are unhappy and you want to chase the people away. So are you actually serving God? Are you serving yourself? Christ is the reality of the burnt offering. So you have to prepare it well. Amen.